The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
By resuming student loan payments at the same time as we provide targeted relief.
Restarting paused loan repayments at around the same time as we provide targeted debt relief.
That these actions taken together will provide real benefits for families without meaningful effect on inflation.
Will not have any meaningful effect on inflation.
How much will this cost? How much will Americans have to pay on this price tag overall?
Well, that remains to be determined.
Just the final one on this.
Sure.
The people that already paid their student loans,
right.
They don't get anything out of this deal.
Right.
That's right. Okay.
This is not a giveaway to rich people. This is not any of the things that Republican critics have charged. Yes, those who have paid their loans back deserve to be credited. That's fantastic. That's to their credit.
How much does this cost?
You know, the projections are still coming out.
Sorry, what's the range of possibilities?
Well, like I said, those projections are still coming out.
I mean, how will this be paid for?
Look, the president has been very clear about reducing the deficit, and concerns about inflation should really be tampered because it does offset.
Who is paying for this?
What we are saying is the work that this administration has done, the work that the Democrats in Congress has done, is actually there and you do.
But when you forgive debt, you're not just disappearing debt. So who is paying for this?
And then I'll give you the second part. We lifted the pause, right? We're going to lift the pause at the end of this year, which is going to matter. Who needs to bring them? I just laid out for you.
No, President, is this unfair to people who paid their student loans or chose not to take out loans?
Is it fair to people who, in fact, do not own multi-billion-dollar businesses that see why these guys give them all the tax breaks? Is that fair? What do you think?
There you go. The level of deceit here, the brazenness behind so many of these lies, and their unwillingness to just give you a straight answer. You know, who pays for all of this? How's this going to be paid for? Here's more presidential action, executive action, unconstitutional action to just add to the misery and the woes that you see all around us in this nation. It's really meant to destroy our economy, to destroy the dollar. And of course, in these power positions that these people are in, it's also meant for them to amass more and more and more power and control. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream through CRN Digital Talk Radio Channel 3. And you can get to the live video stream of this show at our very own website. That would be thetrumpet.com. That's the homepage. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. If you'd like to get to the live stream page, you can also get to quite a few of our programs that are posted after the fact as well. You have to wonder, as unconstitutional as this is, and of course as huge as it is in the news at the moment, you wonder in some ways if this is a distraction, if this is meant to take, they know that what they did 2 weeks ago at Mar-a-Lago was certainly unconstitutional as well. And leaks have been coming out. Never mind what Merrick Garland said. You know, we're going to speak through courts. We're going to speak through our actions in court. And it's been one leak after another leak. And they can't come up with a narrative that is even believable. So here comes this big news yesterday. He relieves all of this student loan debt, which benefits the ones that were in debt. And of course, as you heard in the montage, the ones that actually pay or work 2, 3, 4 jobs to pay off student loans, they're penalized. Really, everyone's penalized because somebody has to pay for this. You can't just disappear the debt. You got someone pays. Who pays? Well, that's the taxpayer. But just coming back to the Mar-a-Lago raid and what we've pointed out this week, how that the White House was behind it. Joe Obama's the one that instigated it. Biden was asked about this yesterday, by the way. Listen to what he said in response. Clip one.
President, how much advance notice did you have of the FBI's plan to search Mar-a-Lago?
I didn't have any advance notice. None. Zero. Not one single bit. Thank you.
He ordered it. Well, Obama did. But Obama's doing it through the puppet. Obama's the one that ordered it, and there he is. More brazen lies. I mean, the trail of evidence, it's there in emails, all the exchanges back and forth between the White House, the National Archives, Trump's lawyers. It's all from April, March, April, May of this year, as they were preparing for this. And yet there he is saying, had no idea. Never mind the revelations from this week. From just the last couple days. Of course, he's been gone with COVID and with vacationing for about a month. So he's been able to avoid even the questions like what you just saw there. Now he finally gets a pretty good question. And he says zero. He just lies. He looks the reporter in the eyes. He looks at the camera and he lies. This is from Matt Tabi. It says, what happened to the Trump raid story? 2 weeks ago, the FBI raid on Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home was the biggest story on earth and seemingly one of the most consequential American news events since 9/11. The search inspired a few hours of social media jubilation, followed by roughly a week of frenzied leaking as a parade of national security soothsayers unspooled sinister scenarios on TV, and then nothing. The line went dead. By last week's end, the cancellation of Brian Stelter on CNN was a top national headline in comparison, with a caveat that the relative quiet could be upended by a court decision Thursday. Could we pause to reflect on the oddness of this episode? Has a story this big ever receded to the back pages this quickly? Well, this, of course, is probably what a lot of people in Obama's administration would prefer, because they know it's hurting them politically to target a political opponent and to do it from the White House. I mean, as I say, this is a level of corruption that, as much as we've seen in the past many years, it's still a challenge just to wrap your mind around it. The way that they come out with this new forgiveness of student loans, as they call it. They use the word forgiveness. But then this raid, this is from the Wall Street Journal, mentioning what the Attorney General said a couple days after the Mar-a-Lago raid, saying that they're going to speak through court filings and nothing else. And then we've just seen one leak after another after another. It sure looks like someone is prosecuting the case through the media, says the Wall Street Journal. The latest example arrived Monday in a dispatch to the New York Times that justice has recovered more than 300 documents with classified markings. Oh, no, there's classified markings on it. And, of course, they all know that if Trump declares them to be unclassified or declassifies them the day before he leaves office, January 19th, 2021, it doesn't matter what kind of marking is on it. So the New York Times, they're going to want you to focus on markings, you know, focus on classified. It's important now. It wasn't with Hillary in 2016, but it's very, very important now. Now we're very concerned about this. It says, in other words, a person briefed on the matter can leak details about the investigation to the press that the public is supposed to credit as true. But the actual court filings and its work, in Mr. Garland's phrase, must remain secret. And these people wonder why tens of millions of Americans don't trust the Justice Department and the FBI. So we learn more about the affidavit, perhaps today. We'll see. And then even as this is going on, all of these other unconstitutional acts to just pile on the tens of billions of dollars of debt. We've been talking about the final days of Rome this week. And all of these corrupt politicians and leaders that are just raiding the Treasury. This is what brought Rome down, in large part, the out-of-control spending, paying off constituents. That's what this amounts to. Imagine taxpayers, imagine blue-collar workers now being saddled with this debt to pay off some, you know, some kid's student loan package to get him into Harvard, to probably pursue a kind of degree that's, well, that's a large part of the problem in our nation today as well. So he announces this bill yesterday, Joe Biden does, saying that they're going to forgive close to $300 billion. I'll get to just the news here in just a second, but some are saying it's upwards of $500 billion. Just adding another $500 billion, $600 billion to the debt that the United States has. Just like that, just with a snap of a finger. I mean, it's not even something the president can do. Nancy Pelosi, she pointed out this, when was it? I think it was earlier this year, if you can fast forward to that Pelosi clip.
People think that the president of the United States, is this more on the subject than you ever want to know? Will you let me know? People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay, but he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
So a couple years ago, because of the COVID crisis, the president, then President Trump, he postpones it, he delays it, just as she explains there. But you can't just waive it. The Congress has to get, Congress has to be involved in this. You might even be asking yourself, how is the government even involved in this? And we'll get to that in just a bit as well. But coming back to the facts of this, again, this unconstitutional action, at least 300 billion. Basically, Biden's people are saying, and this is Susan Rice. This is Susan Rice, meaning it's coming right from Obama's mansion in Washington, D.C. You're eligible if you make under $125,000 or under $250,000 per household. So, I mean, you could be fairly wealthy and still have this waived. And then it's picked up by, you know, Joe Taxpayer, who could conceivably be making $40,000 or $50,000 a year. If you went to college on a Pell Grant, $20,000 of your debt will be paid by the American taxpayers, including low-income, non-college-educated, blue-collar workers. If you did not receive a Pell Grant, $10,000 of your debt is to be paid by American taxpayers. If you've already paid off your college debt, there's nothing in it for you. They don't send you $10,000 in the mail and say, hey, here, congratulations, well done on paying down your debt. And since we're waiving $10,000 for others who are saddled with debt, we're going to give you $10,000 in cash. There's nothing in it for someone that's actually been responsible. You see how that everything, almost everything we bring up each day, it's as if it's exactly backwards. I think this was a couple of years ago when this blue-collar worker confronted Elizabeth Warren. This is, I mean, Warren's out there. She was campaigning on this. Bernie Sanders, they love this. Just waive the debt. Waive the debt, and it'll just disappear. It'll just go away. Listen to this voter confronting Elizabeth Warren from a couple years back, clip 12.
I just want to ask one question. My daughter's getting out of school. I saved all my money. She doesn't have any student loans. Am I going to get my money back? So you're going to pay for people who didn't save any money, and those of us that did the right thing get screwed.
No, it's not even like that.
Of course we did. My buddy had fun, bought a car, went on vacations. I saved my money. He made more than I did. But I worked a double shift, worked extra. My daughter's work, she was 10. So you're laughing. Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. We did the right thing, and we get screwed.
If you do the right thing, you're penalized. If you do the right thing, then they're against you. They're against you. And we're seeing this, whether it's with the southern border, sending all the money to Ukraine for their border security, doing nothing for our own. This is the way they operate. They're hurting America, and they know it. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the attack. As I've said over the last month, I mean, this book comes out at the perfect time because it answers everything that if you have concerns about the direction of the United States of America, that's how this book opens. The whole world sees this. The whole world knows that this is not just a superpower in decline. This is a superpower committing suicide. Dying by suicide. In just the news, it says here, taxpayer bill for Biden's student loan bailout could reach $600 billion. It says a Wharton study estimates that Biden's plan will cost about $300 billion in taxpayer funds. The committee put the estimated cost of the cancellation plan between $400 and $600 billion when factoring in the student loan payment moratorium during the pandemic. The organization estimated that Congress has spent between $700 to $900 billion on student debt cancellation and relief since the start of the pandemic. Remember what we said at the very beginning? The cure is going to kill us. We had the lockdowns. We had it. We had the mandates. We had the vaccines. We had just so many things. The government was funding all of those trillion-dollar packages, and it continues in August of 2022. It continues to this day, almost a trillion now wave because of the pandemic. This was used to attack Donald Trump. Jared Kushner pointed this out on Fox, I believe, yesterday. Listen to, I think it's clip 9.
After that, it became... I think the media weaponized COVID against Trump in a very aggressive way. Right?
Do you think he did too? Because he had a lot of friends in the media. You had Governor Cuomo says I was backdooring the administration with Fauci.
He spent an awful lot of time talking with the media. Again, he was in my office once. His phone rings. Shows up Jim Acosta. I wrote about this, and it's like, come on, man. Like, we're supposed to all be on the same team, and this is a pandemic. Let's put our jerseys aside and let's focus on going.
They weaponized it to go after Donald Trump. And they're still using it. They're still using it. They're still using it to just spend more, to raid the treasury before Rome burns, before Rome goes up in flames. Amos 6, just to dwell on this again, this Rome theme for a moment, it says, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel come." It says, "Pass you into Calna and see." Verse 3 says, Yet you that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie on beds of ivory, verse 4, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and they eat lambs out of the flock. I mean, they're just living the good life. Just raking it in, all these politicians, as I've said so much in recent programs, worth tens of millions of dollars themselves. They go off to Washington with $7, $8 million like Liz Cheney, and they leave 5 years later with $45 million. Just raking it in. And there's something for everyone now, I guess. Everyone's student loan bills, $10,000, $20,000 of debt relief, forgiveness. In Rome, you see, they paid off their constituents to just stay in power, to continue their grip, to keep their grip on power. Here, I mean, it is slightly different when you think about this being a communist attack. And these people know that the only way they can get their system entrenched is if they blow up this system, is if they destroy capitalism, is if they destroy the dollar. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. Verse 6 says, "That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments." This is what my father wrote in The Lion Has Roared. You can get to all of these booklets at our website, or you can call our toll-free number. Call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024, and request The Lion Has Roared. This says, "Problems abound everywhere. Violence, crime." We went through that yesterday. And as one of our news gatherers pointed out this morning, it just makes you, when you see what's happening in our cities, when you see what's happening on the American streets, it just makes you appreciate the laws that God put in place in ancient Israel. Of course, spiritually, they still apply to us in the church. It is different, a little different, when you think of us in terms of being a spiritual nation scattered over all the earth, whereas in ancient Israel, I mean, it was very clear, stark, the boundaries around Israel. And God said to the Israelite nation, you know, they didn't have a big DOJ or an FBI. They didn't have all these law enforcement officials in ancient Israel to protect the streets. They had fathers. They had families. The family was what made Israel anciently stable. Even still, Israel turned away from God, turned to rebellion over time because, well, they just didn't have the heart, like Deuteronomy 5 says. They didn't have the heart to obey. They didn't have God's Holy Spirit. In any event, when you see God putting the emphasis on the role of the father, you appreciate the strength and the stability that brings to your cities, to your communities. But see, all of that has just been turned right on its head, as I said earlier this week. And Tucker Carlson pointed that out as well. When you see all these thugs just helping themselves to goods at stores, at gas stations, liquor stores, whatever it is, the smash and grabs, the carjackings, it's really the curse of fatherlessness. That's what we're seeing. This is from, again, problems abound everywhere, it says in The Lion Has Roared. Violence, crime, family breakdown, drugs, an enormous pornography, sewage, perverted music, terrible problems in our financial structure, and social unraveling. In spite of all of our problems, people drink wine in bowls. They're living the good life as our nations fall apart. They're celebrating when they ought to be grieving. This is happening right now. Here you see all of Biden's spokespeople. They're celebrating when they ought to be grieving. They ought to be mourning the death of a nation. Verse 7 says, therefore, this is Amos 6 still, therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. And then my father says this in the booklet. Here again, call our operators and get a free copy of The Lion Has Roared. It says, Amos decried the social injustice, the oppression of the poor, the lack of any moral or ethical values on the part of the rich and powerful. According to Amos, the spokesman of Yahweh, Israel, was a violent, oppressive, and exploitative society. The poor had to sell themselves into slavery to pay off trivial debts. The rich falsified weights and measures and traded dishonestly. Even the courts, the last bastion of hope for the poor, were corrupt. Judges were bribed to cheat the poor out of what little they had. I mean, just think about what we've covered the last few programs. This is perfectly describing our world today. It's a perfect description of the United States. It says, in fact, Israel was no longer capable of acting with justice. Truth and honesty were now hated. And then my father says, don't forget that Amos, the book of Amos, is an end time prophecy. It's for our time today. I mean, that's Amos 6, these verses we're going through. And of course, many of you are very familiar with the prophecies in Amos 7 as well. America under attack, great again. There's a lot to be said in our literature about Amos 7 and God intervening in our society, in our nation, to save us from what we're seeing. All of this corruption, this lawlessness, these brazen lies. But Biden's education secretary, by the way, basically said, as far as, you know, how this is going to be paid for, he said that, well, as soon as the moratorium is lifted at the end of the year and people start paying, you know, some of these student loans again, then it's just going to be kind of a wash. It doesn't even make sense. It's illogical. It's not possible. You waive $300 billion over here, and then as soon as everyone starts paying off their debts again, it just takes care of itself? This is the way they think. These are people in positions of power. They've got a lot of power. It's just will worship. That's what it amounts to. Pure and simple, will worship. Just do what we say to do. We know how to solve all the problems. And the problems just get worse all around. Notice what Larry Kudlow had to say about what led up to this action that the Biden people took yesterday, clip 7.
70% of the taxpayers are going to be asked to finance the other 30%. And that 70%, Maria, is middle, blue-collar, working folks, right? The 30% are a lot of graduate students and people in arts and sciences. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You want to change, you want to improve the student loan story? Put it back into the private sector. It was Obama that nationalized it and put it all into the government sector.
Here we go again. All roads lead to Obama. Just like we said in the trumpet brief the other night. I pointed this out on yesterday's show. It was Obama who nationalized it and put it into the government sector. That's the way socialists operate. The government needs to control everything. And that way we can fix everything. So now there's all this debt relief. And Biden's education secretary says, yeah, as soon as people start making payments again, well, it'll take care of itself. It'll pay for itself. Trillions of dollars. Susan Rice, by the way, she had a comment yesterday. She was in that montage there. She's in charge of domestic policy. That's what this is. She was one of Obama's right-hand men or woman. And there she is, working in the White House. This is all straight from Obama. All roads lead to Obama. He vowed to fundamentally transform the United States of America. That's what this is. America transformed. Listen to Kevin Brady. He's a congressman from Texas. This is clip 6.
Look, the president is trying to use taxpayers as a personal campaign slush fund, and it's wrong. And I don't believe he has the legal authority to do it. But I think to your bigger point, this is just so unfair. So I have a neighbor who's a detective who's worked 3 jobs as long as I've known him, including selling carpet. Plus, his wife worked to make sure that their daughter could go to a state college, a good quality college, and come out of there debt free. So now they have to pay taxes to pay off, after all that sacrifice of years, pay off the debt of someone else's student loan. And I just think here you've got under President Biden. So under this scheme, you've got a single mom who'll pay off the debt for a computer scientist. You've got a plumber who'll pay off the debt of a physician assistant. You've got a janitor who'll pay off the student debt of a IT architect. Or a psychologist. You know, how is that fair in anyone's world? It just isn't. And so we are going to fight this because it is illegal, it is unfair, and as you said, it will drive inflation and college costs higher.
It's illegal. It's even Nancy Pelosi acknowledged that earlier this year. It's certainly not fair. What was that quote I gave to you from The Lion Has Roared? The poor had to sell themselves into slavery to pay off trivial debts. The rich falsified weights and measures and traded dishonestly. You see, this is what Isaiah is talking about in chapter 1, where he says the sickness is from head to toe. It's at the very top, and it goes all the way down to the bottom. And every bit of it is just so unfair and unjust. And it's prophesied, isn't it? It's prophesied in your Bible. This is from the Washington Post. I mean, if you can't convince the Washington Post that this makes sense. After weeks of anticipation, Mr. Biden announced he will extend the pause on student loan payments until the end of the year. He will also forgive up to $10,000 for those making less than $125,000. Both measures are ill-conceived and misdirected. As I say, if you can't convince Bezos's Washington Post, both measures are ill-conceived and misdirected. It says the loan forgiveness decision is even worse, widely canceling student loan debt is regressive. It takes money from the broader tax base, mostly made up of workers who did not go to college, to subsidize the education debt of people with valuable degrees. See, the ones with degrees, they may be saddled with debt. I'm not saying it's a good system. It's a scam. And by the way, these prestigious universities are worth billions of dollars. They've got billions of dollars of funding. I mean, they must be celebrating behind closed doors. Yeah, let the government take care of all that. And then we can keep raising tuition prices and all that. What a racket. And then who suffers? It's just the working class Americans. And that's who they want to destroy. They want to destroy the middle class. They don't want the middle class to have any power or any say in how the government operates. So just drive them into poverty. That's what Amos 6 is talking about. Well, the book of Amos, it's in that quote that I just read to you. Mr. Biden's plan is also expensive and likely inflationary. It's going to cause more inflation. Didn't we just pass an act that was supposed to reduce inflation? They spent $700 billion just 2 seconds ago saying this is going to reduce inflation. So you've got the perfect answer. If Peter Ducey yells out as you leave the podium, what is this going to do to inflation? Well, it'll actually lower it. They just brazenly lie. It says the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget estimates that extending the loan, well, let me skip ahead. Together, these policies would nullify nearly a decade's worth of deficit reduction from the Inflation Reduction Act. It will provide a windfall for those who don't need it, with American taxpayers footing the bill. It's helping people who don't really need it. They're in the higher income bracket anyway. And it's hurting the poorer people. And they're celebrating in Washington. Where are the Republicans, by the way? Where are the people there's one. I played the clip just now. There should be a lot more. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says the $500 billion student loan executive coup. Well, he did it. Waving his baronial wand, President Biden on Wednesday canceled student debt for some 40 million borrowers on no authority but his own. He just did it because that's the way Obama works. I don't need Congress. I've got a pen and I've got a phone. On no authority. Just like they waltzed into Mar-a-Lago. On no authority. They just do it. It's will worship. You follow our will. You worship our will as we impose it upon you. And don't even criticize us as we do that, or we'll ban you. We'll censor you. We'll remove you from Twitter like we did Trump. It says here, this is really the worst domestic decision of his presidency, and it makes chumps of Congress and every American who repaid loans or didn't go to college. It just makes you chumps. And that's the way they want it. You just sit back and keep your mouth shut. This is a college graduate bailout paid for by plumbers and FedEx drivers. Only a fool could believe colleges. Well, backing up, it says a White House fact sheet hilariously says that colleges will have an obligation to keep prices reasonable and ensure borrowers get value for their investments, not debt they can't afford. And then the Wall Street Journal board says only a fool could believe colleges will do this. You think colleges are really going to say, hey, we're looking at what the government's doing here, this massive bailout, and we're going to try to lower costs. The costs are outpacing inflation by a long shot. And it'll continue to go in that same direction. The journal says it's important to appreciate that there has never been an executive action of this costly magnitude in peacetime. Shall I read it again? There's never been an executive action this costly in peacetime. It just has never happened. Nothing comes close to this $500 billion or more executive coup. Here's the real coup. Here's the real insurrection. It's right there, out there in broad daylight, happening every day. Biden also said he was going to extend the moratorium. So here we are again. The cure, so much worse than the disease ever was. And like Kushner said, even the disease was used as a weapon to go after Donald Trump. They're even lining up now, since it's becoming harder and harder to cover up all of the injuries caused by the vaccine. Just wait. Just wait. The communists and the media, they're preparing their narrative, because the vaccine came out just right at the very tail end of Trump's presidency. So we can blame him. When it's impossible to cover it up anymore, just always revert back to the old reliable narrative. Blame the bad orange man. Blame Donald Trump. You're already seeing it to some degree. Listen, though, to just going back to this executive, this costly executive action. They came out with their statement. What is it called? The Heroes Act? The names they give these things. First enacted in the wake of the September 11 attacks, provides the secretary board, or maybe this is regarding another act from 20 years ago, but it provides the secretary broad authority to grant relief from student loan requirements during specific periods, a war, other military operation, or national emergency, such as the present COVID-19 pandemic. Okay, so this is Biden's reasoning. This is a statement from Biden's people. Here's the broad authority we have. I mean, if it's an emergency, you know, we can waive some of this, or we can put the moratorium in place. It says, and for specific purposes, including to address the financial harms of such a war, other military operation, or emergency. Specifically, the HEROES Act authorizes the secretary to waive or modify any statutory or regulatory provision applicable to the student financial assistance programs. It says, finally, if the secretary deems such waivers or modifications necessary to ensure at least one of several enumerated purposes, including that borrowers are not placed in a worse position financially because of a national emergency. So I guess we're still in a state of emergency. We have to do this. It's a state of national emergency. So we've got to provide some debt relief. I thought the economy was just doing fantastic. That's what the Biden people have said. They said the inflation was just transitory. The economy's booming. The economy's stronger than it's ever been. They've actually said this. And now they trot out national emergency. We got to do it because it's an emergency. We've got to take this, what did the Wall Street Journal say? The most costly executive action in peacetime ever. That happened just this week. Listen to, again, I referred to the Washington Post, what their editorial board said. This is the Washington Post, Catherine Rampell, earlier this week.
Is forgiveness or extension of a moratorium on loan payments, in the simplest terms, is a good economic policy?
I think from an equity and an inflationary standpoint, it's not the best use of taxpayer dollars here. There are a lot of people who will benefit who appear to have relatively low or moderate incomes today, but will have very high expected future earnings. I mean, going to college is generally considered an investment. If you are someone like a medical resident, for example, you will benefit from this because your income is moderate today, but your future earnings are very high.
And the Joe Plumber can foot the bill in the meantime. Listen to this. This is an economics professor talking about this bill as well, clip 11.
Yeah, that's sort of the catch-22 of this all. We could send everybody another round of checks to pay for their inflation costs, but that would actually make inflation worse. What we need to do now is get inflation under control. One of the easiest ways to do that is to ask people to start paying back the debt they already owe, to start making the principal payments that they already agreed to. And by the way, while not everybody that has student debt is rich, disproportionately, student debt is being held by people that have advanced degrees and pretty good income, and they can bear it a lot more than everyday Americans that are seeing the cost of their gasoline and clothing go up.
Right. So they all see it, even some of the propagandists in the media, economists, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. You do wonder, as much criticism as this will rightfully receive, you do wonder if it's coming out at just the right time for them to kind of try to quietly move on from Mar-a-Lago, particularly as we hopefully find out some details from the affidavit, the reasoning behind the raid, why the search warrant was so broad, why they had access to 4 years of documents, anything related to Trump's presidency. Just go and take it. That's what they did 2.5 weeks ago. My father and our orientation, this was just from a week and a half ago, coming back to, he was actually saying this in large part because of the Build Back Better plan, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act. They finally got Manchin on board, and here's another $700 billion that we'll spend on Green New Deal policies. And he talked at the orientation about this briefly, saying that the goal, the intent here is again, to destroy America's economy, to destroy the U.S. dollar and the dollar's dominance. This was from our orientation a week and a half ago, clip 14.
But they are doing everything they can to destroy the Constitution of America. So they're obviously trying to destroy the dollar and destroy capitalism. Then they plan to overthrow the government. That's the way Marxism has already done time and time again. And they certainly are in that category, but it's much worse than that. It's much worse than that.
This is the way Marxist governments work. I had a clip on yesterday's show. I didn't get around to playing it, but it was this New York politician, a Democrat. She won her primary, I guess it was, and she's on video there saying, you know, this is a victory for socialism. They're not even trying to conceal it anymore. They've taken the mask off. They've revealed who they are. They're trying to destroy capitalism. They're trying to destroy the dollar. They're trying to destroy the Constitution. They're trying to fundamentally transform the United States. And that's why they despise and must destroy Donald Trump, because he's the only one standing against their movement to destroy the Constitution, to destroy capitalism in the United States. Listen again to Larry Kudlow on Fox Business earlier this week, clip 8.
Yeah. But Maria, the other point is, you know, the Biden administration with its big government socialism, right, they do not want Trump's tax cuts and deregulation and fossil fuels. They don't want that back. They don't want free enterprise capitalism, which gave us the best economy in generations.
Yeah.
They don't want that on the ballot. And that's what this is all about. That's what this Mar-a-Lago fiasco is all about. It's not just that they don't want President Trump, although I think they're afraid of him too, but it's his ideas that gave us a booming economy for the middle class. They don't want that. They're a bunch of regulatory central planning bureaucrats. That's all this is about. And look at the results.
Yeah.
Look at the results.
Well,
we went from boom to bust.
Yes, we did.
In 20 months.
Wow, boom to bust in 20 months. But he points out there that they don't want Trump back. And it's more than that, though. They don't want Trump's ideas. They want to force their policies down the throats of ordinary Americans. This is America under attack. This is what it looks like for the nation of America to be attacked. We write in the book. It's quoting what Barack Obama, this book, I mean, America Under Attack, as I say, call the 800 number today to get your free copy. There's no cost or obligation. And it really will help for you to understand what's happening in the United States at this very moment. But in this book, we quote from the note that Barack Obama wrote to Donald Trump, and the press loved it. Oh, boy. It's so sad that Obama has to leave. If only we could have him for 12 years instead of 8. That's the way they were thinking back in 2017. Well, now we're in the midst of year 9, year 10, because this is Obama's third term, like we said in the trumpet brief. All roads lead to Obama. But we quote from the note that he left Donald Trump. On the day that Trump came into office, this is Obama saying that U.S. presidents are, quote, guardians of those democratic institutions and traditions like the rule of law, separation of powers, equal protection, and civil liberties that our forefathers fought and bled for. It says, regardless of the push and pull of daily politics, it's up to us to leave those instruments of our democracy at least as strong as we found them. That's what Obama said the day he was leaving office. And then he had all of those agencies in place. They worship him, will worship. That's when Obama started to really ramp up his attacks on Donald Trump. They were already in motion before he wrote this note. Mr. Obama's note seemed noble and sincere, my father writes. It was treated as such by many politicians and journalists, but it is one of the most diabolical and hypocritical messages ever written by an American president. It certainly is. My father's absolutely right. Look at his actions. The Bible says, judge by fruits. It says here, Barack Obama spent his 8 years as president doing exactly the opposite of what he told Mr. Trump, advancing his agenda to weaken those democratic institutions and traditions in pursuit of his supreme stated goal of fundamentally transforming the United States of America. After leaving office, Mr. Obama continued to pursue this goal. He spearheaded the effort to harm Donald Trump's Make America Great Again agenda, an effort that included illegally spying on him and impeaching him twice. Well, now you can add to that the Mar-a-Lago raid and then all these other policies that are hurting the nation, like Kudlow said there. From boom to bust in 20 months? Look at their fruits. Are they really upholding democratic institutions? Do they really stand for the rule of law? Or are they shredding the Constitution? You know the answer to that. It says here, when you compare what Donald Trump did to what his predecessor did, there was a striking change. His presidency slowed the speed and force by which America was being pulled apart. He did not trash the Constitution, as the previous president did. He passed tax cuts that helped many American families. You know, contrast this with this monstrosity of a bill that's going to be put upon working-class Americans. Americans that aren't even college educated, they're now going to foot the bill for others to go off to college, to graduate, and looking at it long term, eventually have a salary much higher than Joe Plummer. He rolled back the universal health care mandate, removed regulations that oppressed American businesses. The stock market broke new records. Mr. Trump also had a strong relationship with religious leaders and has strongly defended religious groups. He speaks publicly about how good and strong and even righteous America is, although the truth is that America today is none of those things. He inspired confidence in a lot of people about the nation's future. What a difference between these two administrations. It really is a war. You're really seeing, as I've said before, you're really seeing Antiochus and Jeroboam every day. With so many of these stories, at least the ones coming out from Manasseh, the United States, I mean, we had an article at thetrumpet.com, President Trump, the lone man defending America. This is from July 14th, 2 years ago. 2 years ago. And it's written in response to that speech that he gave at Mount Rushmore. We played a lot of those clips a couple years ago on this program. But we wrote this, where are the defenders of America's history? President Trump's Mount Rushmore speech was a good answer to that question. Between the cancel culture mob and the destruction of American history stands one man, Donald Trump. At this point, it's obvious that America is in a cultural civil war, and it's no exaggeration to say that reading the major news media, you would think that President Trump started it. You would think that what he is doing is crazy, outrageous, and dangerous. But what are these outrageous and divisive actions of his? He dares to defend American presidents, the American flag, American institutions, and American history. Where's the danger in this? It's only dangerous if you're from the radical left. if you're a communist in sheep's clothing, it says here, radical leftists are rabidly, vulgarly, destructively desecrating the memories, the histories, and the principles left to us by Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, Lincoln, and other great Americans. They are attacking the principles of the Constitution. They are attacking even the basic human concept of rule of law. And they say it's President Trump who's divisive. This aggressive reaction to President Trump's July 3rd speech, again, this was the Mount Rushmore speech from 2 years ago, tells you a lot about the radical left. It's now powerful enough and bold enough to openly assault American history and American principles en masse. That's from our Trumpet magazine. And again, you can sign up for a free subscription. You can get 10 free magazines each year. We produce 10 of them in the 12-month calendar year. But if you haven't subscribed already, or if you haven't gotten America Under Attack or Great Again, you can. I also mentioned The Lion Has Roared, a wonderful little booklet, quick read and a deep study, and applicable to today, as my father said in those quotes that I gave to you earlier. To get any of this, just call our operators, toll-free in the United States, Canada, the Caribbean. The number is 1-866-930-3024. Operators are standing by. We've got a couple of minutes, and I'll go through an email or two. Brilliant article on All Roads Lead to Obama. It says it all. When is America going to wake up to what is going on? If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can see the email address there on the lower third. That's td@thetrumpet.com. This one here comes from around the corner here in Oklahoma. It says, thank you so much for the Trumpet Daily. Daily, I wait in anticipation to hear your input and also to chuckle. It's like we're watching comedy, if only it was not so serious. It says, today's TD about Liz Cheney's loss and her comment about Abraham Lincoln just helped me understand, this is from a few programs ago, it helped me to understand how people are really worshiping the will. The left especially seemed to be completely under a strong influence. I finished America Under Attack online. Can't wait to study it in print and just mark it up, as this is the only explanation that we need to fully grasp the extent of this attack. It says, as another commentator said, Republicans are not the solutions to your problems, but the Democrats are certainly a cause of most of our problems. May God's kingdom come. It says, thank you once again for helping us make sense of all this bombardment and nightmare. May God's will be done. Another one here, well, speaks about some of the humor we have on this show from time to time. We do need a little bit of comic relief here and there. This one here says, the Democrats are saying the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the bad orange man will rise again. The head is sick and the body is full of sores, which cannot be mollified with ointment. That's paraphrasing Isaiah 1. It says, the whole country is sick because of sin. The FBI is a bunch of gangsters themselves, principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you for the Trumpet Daily. It says, this last one, a short one. Hello, as always, great hearing Stephen Fleury. As far as Liz Cheney goes, her concession speech, she conceded, or rather, she conceded, different spelling on that word. Thanks for the show. And we thank you for, as I say at the start of the program, for joining our growing audience. Send us an email, please, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.